I'm really excited about this topic.
So we'll get picked up.
Well, I'm going to pray. Lord, I'm really thankful that we have this many people here who are interested in helping other women. That's a wonderful thing. It's such a blessing to see the interest there. So I pray now that as we talk, you will help us to understand the scripture that's presented, and you will help us to be inspired to serve you in that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Caroline Neuheiser is my name. And I have been NAICS certified for a couple years after years of watching Jim Council. Finally took the step after my kids finished homeschooling, were out of the house, and that was my turn to think about counseling women, mainly because at the counseling center they were desperate for women. They were desperate for married women to come and help. So I presently am counseling 2 days a week. Each of those days I'm seeing 4 or 5 women, like one right after the other. So you go from highs and lows, and it's difficult, but it's good. So my job today, this morning, is to give you a pep talk to encourage you to do the same thing. Now, I'm not saying we all need to be counseling in a center with hours where we have schedules like a doctor's office, but I want you to realize that you can go out and you should go out and serve one another in your church. That's our calling, right? He's called us to serve one another. So a lot of us are thinking, well, like I was, what do we do now that we're in this stage of life? And if you look, I jog in half marathons, and you want to know the biggest age group of women out there running? It's my bracket. It's women who have kids out of the house. I mean, that's a huge number of people who say, okay, now I'm going to start investing hours on the road, in the paths, running. But I'd rather you think about, let's work with one another. Let's use my time now. We are called in the body to serve one another, and I'm not saying you've got to be a little bit gray-haired. We're all going to be serving. There's always something we can do to look to help others. So we're called to live for others, be unselfish in that way. And we're going to spend a little bit of time on Titus 2. You've got Titus 2, 3 through 5, which is our inspiration. And it says, the section about people serving in the church, it says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. This is plural. You've got older women, so that's plural. We're all out there doing that. And we are older than someone else. I'm sure you've heard that before. We're always older than someone else, okay? One of our newest gals at the church getting certified is, I don't know, she's in her 20s. But she wants to serve, she wants to get certified, and I know there are people who can meet with her. I mean, I meet with girls who are 14-year-olds, 16-year-olds. So yeah, we can use her help, her gifts. So the advantage that you all have not being in a counseling center is that you are available. I mean, me, I say, I can see you for an hour on Monday. You're not even in my church. I'm not going to see you between those hours that we're together. But those of us in the body, I mean, we've got constant contact and actually more availability than someone who works in a counseling office. You're going to be able to take a phone call at night when a gal is in distress. You can meet her at a coffee shop. You can go out to the park. Such a much more relaxed environment. It's really helpful. And we are able to practice what Galatians 6:1 says, which we've heard about some already with peacekeeping and peacemaking. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." So this word brothers, we're not exempt. Because I did a word study on this. Because a gal was saying, "Okay, does that include me?" So, yes, it does, because it's like brethren, males and females all together. So we're included in this command to go if anyone's caught in transgression. And go in that way we can fulfill the law of Christ. And besides, Colossians 3:16 tells us let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. Again, we're included in that. And Proverbs 31:26, I love it. "She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue." Okay, all these verses are thinking, oh wait, my job is not just to sit in the pew or the chair. It's to go to be absorbing and giving. Okay. Besides, we would rather have women counseling these other women. You don't want a young gal to think, "I have no one to talk to about my problem but the pastor." Okay? You've got problems already. You don't want cross gender counseling, because I'm telling you, some of the things I hear about in my counseling office are really, really private, that a woman would be mortified to even mention to pastor, okay? But she needs to talk. She needs to tell somebody about these things. So we need that. Besides, we know how women think, do we not? We have an advantage. You know, my husband tells me cases about what the wife's saying, because he doesn't counsel women, but he counsels with them and together. "Oh, and she said this," and I'm going, "Ah, okay, I know what she's doing. I know what kind of person that is, because I know how women think." And besides, you might be surprised to know that of the people calling for counseling, it's like over 50% are women. You've got more like 80%. And these are even for marriage cases. "Oh, could you counsel us? We're having problems in our marriage." And it's the wife who's doing the calling. She's the one who wants to repair relationships. So we need more women doing it. And I am also a counterpart. I have helped a man who's done marriage counseling, and he'll say, "Could you spend time with this woman now? We've done couples counseling, but she really needs somebody to talk to on her own." Okay, good. I can help. So, as Tim Keller says, self-forgetfulness gives freedom. And that's what I need to talk to you about now. Because some of us are really into ourselves and thinking, there is no way. I mean, I'm glad I came today, but I can't even picture myself talking to someone else. It's not for me. Let somebody else do it. Okay, so now I'm going to tell you about self-forgetfulness will give you freedom to go out and serve. Because we're not basing our service on self-confidence, are we? And if you are, you're going to be in trouble. Because pretty soon you're going to find, I cannot do this within my own power. Because I'm going to remind you right now that you've got the Holy Spirit working. We're to be a mouthpiece. We're to be His voice. And I have a series of verses here. John 20 talks about the Holy Spirit being sent. 2 Peter 1:3, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who's called us by His own glory and goodness." Proverbs 3:5, we've memorized that, right? "Do not lean on your own understanding." So you might say, "Okay, well, I can't figure out what to say." Well, do you remember Proverbs 3:5? Now your job is to find the scripture that applies. Okay? Find the right thing to say, and God will help you do that. And we are to go out and make disciples, are we not? And it's teaching is part of that. Making disciples and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And one lady who's now in the counseling center, every single time I'm down in La Mesa, California, she's observing, and she says, first time she came in, she's like, I can't do this. No, okay, remember that we are clay pots. We have our treasure in earthen vessels. So don't think you've got to be some super person, like massively knowledgeable, seminary trained person to do counseling or to help or come alongside. You are a treasure. You've got this treasure in you, even though you are like a broken vessel, a clay pot. So, we have people in the Bible who gave the same objections. We have, and I pick Sarah first. Sarah. She is mentioned in 1 Peter 3. It's a big, long passage about how to deal with unpleasant, unfortunate situations in marriage. But at the end of 1 Peter 3, in that whole section, by verse 6, it says, so as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good, do not fear anything that is frightening. So helping other women might seem kind of frightening because, my goodness, those problems out there are huge. But let's depend on the Lord in that and say, okay, I'm gonna obey here. I'm not going to be frightened by that because I have Christ in me. And besides, he didn't choose many wives, did he? Or influential or noble or good-looking or, okay? He picked ordinary people. That's why he wants ordinary people to do his work so he can get the glory. And Moses. Do you remember Moses? Oh, I can't do that, Lord. I can't even speak. Okay, objection after objection. And his answer to God's answer to Moses was, I am. Okay? I am the Lord. I am the one who's working through you. If we're not willing to be the mouthpiece to serve, okay, do you see how that's a lack of trust in God? I mean, we look down on Moses. Good grief, Moses, don't you see? I mean, do you know the end of the story? No. Okay, but let's be willing. Let's be the one who says, yes, Lord, here am I. Send me. I can only do it through you, so let me just make me more dependent on you. And he will. So I referenced Isaiah in that. Jim was talking about Peter, who had to actually step out. Yeah. I mean, those disciples initially follow me. But wait a minute, I've got my job, I've got responsibilities, and we know Peter was a married man. Okay, I've got stuff to do. He says, follow me. Okay, so let's be willing. Oh, sorry. I appreciate you telling me. And I'll raise my voice. So, one of my favorite passages, 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 8. And this is one you can commit to memory. And it's, I think Timothy might have been kind of a fearful guy, because over and over we see, okay, Timothy, do not fear. And Paul says in Chapter 1, 6 to 8, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Okay, the power comes from God, and it's love for others that will do it. And it takes self-discipline to actually get trained. Does it not? So we're doing that. Now, we have some objections. I'm sure you guys are thinking of objections, but the first one would be, maybe, I wouldn't know what to say. How could I sit down with somebody and come alongside her, what am I going to say? And so I'm going to encourage you by Hebrews 3:13, which says, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. That's our command, to encourage one another daily. And a lot of counseling is just, I'm going to encourage you right now. You're doing well. Just keep going. I'm going to tell you the verses to give you strength, and I'll come alongside you, and I'll give you a call in a few days just to see how you're doing. Okay? A lot of it's encouragement, which we're supposed to be doing. I mean, I talk about fearful. I was meeting with a gal on Thursday, and she is a seminary graduate. Okay? Gorgeous, self-assured. You know, she's got a lot of stuff going for her. But she does not have anyone to talk to. I'm asking her, so do you have somebody in your church? Well, not really. And she's coming to counseling because basically she needs encouragement. Me, I'm thinking, all right, I never went to seminary, but I can tell her the Bible. So we've been looking at scriptures. But the antidote for not knowing what to say is learn the scripture. You're coming to today, you're getting more training, you're listening to audios, you're figuring out, well, yeah, I can use that verse. And I'll tell you a secret, a lot of the problems are coming up again and again. Okay? And if you know the gospel, which we should be able to know the gospel in our lives and share it with others, that covers so much, doesn't it? You see how the gospel covers forgiveness as an example. Okay, so we need to know the scripture, and we let the scripture do the work. And I told him, oh no, I can't believe I didn't even help this lady. I mean, she's not getting that. He says, if you just read her the scripture, that's probably more than she's getting in other places. Just let the Bible do the convicting. It's not your job anyway. So, we're supposed to long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it we may grow in respect to salvation. And Psalm 19 tells us the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the more counseling you do, the more you appreciate the scripture, the more you realize that everyday problems are covered in all these pages. So, and besides, even if you've got your verses all listed, you've got them ready to go, a lot of that gets thrown out the window because something else comes up. And you, okay, well, we're going to go a different direction. Lord, help me, please. And you're telling yourself, help me. And that's what I do a lot. Help, 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 help. While she's talking. And, I mean, look at what Paul said in Ephesians 6:19. He says, pray also for me. Paul, he's like the great preacher. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And we're like that too, okay? That can be your verse. You can memorize that one. And we have to abide in Christ. It says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do. All right, so what makes you think you can go in there and just because of your greatness, you can help people? No, it's because of the Spirit working. We can't do anything anyway without Him. So, even if you don't know, like a lady said to me on Thursday, a different one, I don't know what to do. My husband's telling me not to pay the mortgage. I'm the one who's been taking care of the bills. He's, you know, marriage problems, huge marriage problem. We're underwater on our house. We owe this much, and he's telling me this, and my parents are telling me this. I said, okay, I'll come back, and I'll be sure to have an answer next week. Because here I am trying to process that whole thing. So I don't know, you know, I'll be glad to tell you, but don't worry about it till next week. Just spend the whole week. You're not worrying about that. Okay, it's not that critical for 7 days. So, that's what I did. I said, you got to You got to get help when you need it. I'm thankful I'm married to Jim because I get help immediately. And yeah, I'm still working through. I'm asking the Lord for wisdom on that because it has to do with him not trusting her. And she's taking authority over the finances, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. Okay, so another thing we might say is, well, how can I help anybody? Because I've got my own problems. And I've got enough going on here. And there's a sense in which it's the mature, it's the ones who've kind of walked the path for a while who can help. But don't wait until all your own problems are solved. Because you know that's not going to happen. We all are going to need growth in character. We need improvement. And besides, if you've been studying any of the NAICS certification information, they'll say one of the I's, letter I, is involvement. An important aspect of counseling is involvement. That means I know how it is. I've been there. Actually, I've walked that path myself. I know what it's like to not have forgiveness. I know what it's like to be worried about finances. Okay? So involvement just says, I'm right there with you. You know, God has showed me this. And how many times do things happen in your own life that you know you're going to use it to help someone else? Like, oh, there must be some reason we had that conflict because now I can use myself as a bad example and say, yeah, okay, it happened to me, but this is how we solved it. So that's not an excuse, girls. And it gives you more compassion. When you've gone through things, you've got your own problems, you have compassion. And you can share better with others. Actually, one of my other favorite verses is 2 Corinthians. In chapter 1, 3 through 5, tells us one of the purposes for why we're having struggles in our own lives. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Okay? No excuse there. Well, then we might say, well, what am I going to do if this lady doesn't improve? What if I'm not really helping her? Well, okay. You might be dealing with somebody who's not a believer, and that's not your responsibility to make her a believer, to get the Holy Spirit, to help her to have all that power and love and self-discipline she needs. But she may just need a lot of patience. She may just be one of those people who's one of the weak, one of the timid, one of the idle, who just needs encouragement, slowly working with her. And then we realize that if she does get amazingly better, it's not because of our greatness either. It's still the Holy Spirit working. We can't say, well, you know, I really did a great job in prep for that meeting. No, it's not that. Okay, it's the Holy Spirit working. So no matter what kind of background and impact and training and everything you have, it's still you laying out the word there, the Spirit's working. But I can say it's really exciting to see a woman come from fear to faith. Okay? To where she's, no matter, every time she mentions her husband's name, she's crying and she's like struggling and fretting and, you know, it was just broken to where, like this one gal, she came in, she goes, it's like I'm a different person. I'm able to handle things because I know who I am in Christ. I'm like, yes, I'm so excited. It's a privilege to be there and watch that. Besides seeing those outward benefits, you get so many benefits yourself from helping others. okay, you're going to start growing. I mean, do you listen to the message this morning and think, wow, you know, I could really use that? You've got more verses now. You've got more phrases that you're going to think about in terms of forgiveness, peacemaking, all these things. Well, you're going to, every time you read the scripture, you're going to be in there like, oh, yes, I could use this for so-and-so, but how much is that helping you as well? And you're going to grow massively because you're dependent on God. So your Bible is going to get thicker, as Jim says. How thick is your Bible? Well, maybe some of us feel like we can't do counseling because we only know like this many verses. Can we call it up to mind? Well, maybe we can't memorize so many, but hey, you know, I get my iPhone out and I go, okay, I'm not surfing the net. I'm actually looking for a verse because I don't remember where it is. But you're growing in your knowledge of Scripture and your ability to use it and apply it in different situations. You're going to get to study in depth, like the whole Galatians 6:1. What does brethren mean? Well, my counselor asked me, does that include women? I said, okay, I'll get back to you on that. Yeah, I looked it up in the Greek, and this is what it means. So here I am doing in-depth study I did not expect because of that question. Good, I'm going to grow when I am helping others. And I'm going to grow in my dependence on God because I'm going to get a stronger sense of a need for God's help. There's no way we can counsel and help others. And it's usually the hardest cases which make you more dependent. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you have that, like the woman who came in? She's trying to get out of prostitution. I've never met a prostitute in my life. I wouldn't know what to say to a person like that. Well, okay, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. And that was it. I'm going, this is a really big, important case, but my prayer life is immensely grown. I'm asking people to pray for me. I'm not saying who they are, but I'm saying, please pray for me. I got a really difficult situation. So it's super great for your own life when you're out there helping people. And we're supposed to carry one another's burdens, are we not? And so fulfill the law of Christ. So you're going to grow in your own character too, because we can't tell others all about forgiveness if we're not actually doing it. Okay? You've got to be really aware of your own need for the Lord and your own need to apply these principles which you're telling others. Okay? You can't just be a mouth without being an example. So we're going to practice what we preach. Timothy was told, therefore I urge you to imitate me. Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And the lady in Titus 2, she was having to do these things which she's helping others to do. And you're also going to learn in your character, you're going to learn patience. It's going to help you be patient with others. When you walk alongside someone else who is getting tangled by sin all the time, you're going to learn a lot about being patiently able to walk her through her path. Okay? It's really going to help you too. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. That's when you sit down with your friend and you say, all right, Susie, today we're not going to talk about Joe. We're going to talk about you. And she's like, okay. And then here comes Joe's name. Remember we said we weren't going to talk about your husband. We're going to talk about you today. Okay, patiently bringing her right back in to where she needs to focus. Okay, that comes from a heart that's really dependent and really learning to be patient with others. But it's good. It's good for you. So, we see character is one of the requirements in Titus 2. So, I'm going to tell you a little bit what I learned from Martha Peace in her book, Becoming a Titus 2 Woman. And it begins with these are our character qualities we need to be thinking of. Older women are to be reverent in behavior. So when I met with the girl who was trying to get out of prostitution, you know what I picked to wear? I was going to pick something to wear which represented what godly Christian woman would wear. Okay? So reverent in my outward appearance, behavior. And then it says, not slanderers. And other versions would say a malicious gossip. And if you look at the Greek on that, it's like, it's got the root of diabolos. Sounds like devil or devilish. This would be a woman who is able to listen to the deepest, darkest, most private secrets of her friend and not tell a soul. Okay? Now sometimes you'll need to have a qualifier and say, you know, we need to actually share this with the pastor, but I will go with you. I want to go with you so that your pastor knows what's happening. I will support you and I'll pray for you. You're not alone. But we can't keep this a secret. Some things you cannot keep a secret, but you need to tell the authorities in the church. But you're going to go with her. Okay? And you will not tell anyone else. Not share it in prayer requests. You will not tell your friends. And if you do tell the case, you will not tell the name. Okay? So you're not going to ever figure out who I'm meeting with. Okay? Even in our schedule, we don't put the last name. We just put the name. Or we put an initial so that nobody can find out what's happening. Because do you think somebody's going to share with you if you're going to blab it around? No? They won't. And it doesn't take much because our antenna are alert. If we've told our deepest, darkest secret, we are alert to make sure it's not spreading. Okay, so that's our responsibility. And we can do that. But you have to talk to yourself, okay? And sometimes I have to tell myself, this is a secret. There's no need for anybody else to know this. And I'm, you know, just please, don't let me say something. Because, you know, gossip is like a choice morsel. Because deep down, okay, you know, you got to stop yourself. You're going to practice your own medicine. You're going to take your own medicine and learn not to share it, okay? So part of what this lady is also an example of not being addicted to much wine. Well, I wouldn't imagine we'd all be addicted to wine if we're trying to do counseling. But we may have other little things in our lives which are pretty important, like we can't give up hardly. There can be other types of addictions, necessary things, like I've got to get home, my show is on, can't miss my show. Well, okay, now we've got DVD, you know, we got recordings and DVRs, so we can record our show, but let's not be addicted. Let's not be obsessed with certain things like this, beyond just drinking wine, but enslaved to anything, even food, romance novels, pain pills. It fits a lot of things that are controlling our life, because if we're trying to teach someone to be filled with power and love and self-control, okay, be an example, then God's going to work in our lives and help us not to have those addictions. Okay, and we're to seek to serve. It says at the end of Titus 2:3, they are to teach what is good. That is the job of older women, someone who's coming alongside someone else is to teach what is good, and so to train young women. So I know when I'm reading the Bible, even in my daily reading, I'm starting to find verses that I never saw before. Even though I've read the Bible so many times, it's like, wow, this really, like I told you before, this helps so-and-so. I could use this. And I'm writing it down. So I'm learning more and more about what to teach. And God is helping me with that. And a really great benefit of biblical counseling is that it's going to make your marriage look really good. Because if you talk to people who are having marriage problems, like explosive anger in the home, or, I mean, I could tell you horrible stories, and you come home and, oh, honey, thank you so much for how you earn a living. You know? Thank you so much that you don't come home plastered at night. Lots of benefits, and it goes the same way if your husband's doing counseling. Yeah, you start to appreciate one another more because you see the heartache and the pain that's out there. So I have some suggestions. One is, get a good grasp of theology. You're not going to do this job at all well if you don't know theology. And I'm talking about knowing who God is and knowing who people are. Theology, anthropology are going to help keep things straight. For one thing, if you really understand God is sovereign, God is working, it's not on your shoulders. Okay? That'll help you sleep at night. That'll help you be able to give your friend to the Lord and just say, Lord, I know you can work. I know who you are. I know how powerful you are. I know how good you are. I know how loving you are. It's not my job to rescue. Okay, so the lady I was working with, who was a prostitute, ended up not showing. Her father comes in the office. He says, she's not coming ever again. What am I going to do? Well, I'm the councilman, but I have to tell him, you have to give your daughter to the Lord. I'm sorry she's made that choice, though. And me, I'm still carrying her in my head. And I'm reading the paper. Am I going to see her name in there? Is she going to be dead on the side of the road somewhere? What's going to happen? But I have to give that to the Lord. Otherwise, I would be a nervous wreck. And many people have bailed from coming alongside others because they're a wreck themselves. But you know what? Good theology is going to help you with that because you're giving it to God. Okay? My sister-in-law, she's beating her kids. I can talk to her, but if she's not going to listen to me, it's your problem, God. Okay? Because, let's face it, we want to be rescuers. And that's one thing that brings us into this job. Because we love people, we care for them. But you can't carry them all. Okay? You have to give them to the Lord. Anthropology helps you too, because, hey, I know people are sinners. People created in sin, a tendency to sin, and if they're totally unbelievers, they're not going to have the power. So, that also helps you. So, okay, well, you might say, I don't know if I can handle it. What if she doesn't like me? What if I get rejected? Okay, the answer is, back what we just talked about, those are the women that God has created, they are His, and you have to give them to God. Your job is to be the arrow, the sign pointer. Ezekiel, remember him? Oh, how can I do this job? You know, people aren't going to be listening. All those prophets in the Old Testament, they're not going to listen. Says, that's right, they're not going to listen. But your job is to tell. That's what it is a lot of times. It's just to point them the right way. How long, O Lord? Said Isaiah. Well, your job is to tell them. Okay, so sometimes that's what it is. And don't be afraid to have someone walk out the door. It's not personal. You have to think, it's not personal. If I'm telling them God's word, if I'm reading scripture, that's what they're rejecting. Now, maybe, and I'm going, okay, maybe I didn't say it in the right way, and maybe I wasn't compassionate enough. Okay, but still, it's she belongs to God, so I can't tell myself I'm going to stop because it's not working. I mean, there's a lady, if I told you her name, you would recognize her name as a biblical, huge in the biblical counseling movement, that I heard that the first 13 people she met with never came back. Imagine. I want to help you. Well, okay, I'm never coming back. And the next one, and the next one. So now, she's a great biblical counselor. She probably learned from that experience, but she kept going. I respect her for that. Because it was hard when the first one did that to me. And it was really nice. I mean, she's really nice. But it was like, oh no, she's rejecting me. But I had to stop myself and say, no, I can't tell myself that. Okay. Because we want to protect ourselves from failure. But let's not get ourselves involved in the whole thing. We're going to be out there to serve, and God's going to work. Okay. So we might... We're going to have to try to avoid burnout by remembering 2 Thessalonians 3:13, which says, never tire of doing what is right. And what brings burnout, or I can't handle this anymore, is taking your eyes off Christ, and then it's your own project. Oh, she's my project. Is she turning out well? Does everybody know we're meeting together? And yeah, when she's smiling... I'm smiling. But don't think of it that way. You've got to think, I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm just like one of those prophets. And I'm going to walk alongside her. But she's making her own choices. And that's how it happens. I mean, Jim says a very large percentage of the counseling cases are going to be people who don't succeed. I mean, they just walk away. They say, I don't want to do that anymore. It's hard work. Because if you're talking about the wide population, which I'm getting calls from people in churches or in mega churches, maybe they're not even believers. Yeah, it's not surprising that they're never going to walk out. They don't want to hear it. So, you want to be sure also that you can not be a busybody. We've got to emphasize that again. I did not believe that I was one of those counseling people. I still have doubts, but anyway. Because I'm not the kind of person who will sit down and just tell you what you need to do. In other words, I'm not a bossy person. Can I be a counselor if I'm not a bossy person? Well, no, you should, actually. Because it's the bossy ones who are taking control of your life. I'd rather be the one that's the encourager, and I can sit and listen, and I can take my problems with you. I can bring them to the Lord with you. But don't think that you've got to be the one that's got to control everybody's life. That's the busybody. That's the one who says, I've got my project, and she's my thing. Okay. So actually, you're better equipped if you're not a bossy person. And even when you're giving counseling, you're taking really great care to figure out whether you're telling your own opinion or God's word. And it's the bossy one who's saying specific things that aren't in Scripture. Okay? Like, you need to eat gluten-free. All right. Maybe that works for you, and maybe your friend did that, and it's really solved her problems. But let's focus on Scripture, okay? And that's where you're going to get your strength anyway, because God's not going to work with the other stuff. He's going to work with His Word. So, we've got this description in 2 Timothy 3, 6 through 7. That says, in the last days, you've got these horrible people going around, and they're described as lovers of money, lovers of self, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful. And then it says, in verse 6, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at knowledge of the truth. And you'll find weak women coming and saying, just tell me what to do. And it's like, no girl, your job is to follow scripture. You've got to do some hard work here. Where she would just like you to just do the everything for her. And she'll call you in the middle of the night and say, oh, yeah. Okay, she's pulling you down into her depths of despair or whatever. I mean, you want to be compassionate, but you don't want to go in there and clean her house if she's not doing it because she's lazy. Okay? And you don't want to, you can come alongside her and say, let's work on this project together. But to do for her what she should be doing, that's the one who's taking control. Okay? Some of us have more problems with that than others. All right, so I also advise you to rely on others for advice. I mentioned this before, getting help from others when you don't know the answer. Go to seminars. Yay, that's what we're doing. We're going to experienced counselors. We're going to older people who know more than we do. People who've been through some hard cases like rape. How do you counsel a woman who has rape issues? Well, I'm going to go and ask somebody who's talked to a lot of women with that. Suicidal girls, what do you do? Well, if I don't know, I'm going to certainly ask someone else. Have you talked to anybody with this issue before? What do you think I should do? What verses did you use? How can I help in this way? So don't be afraid to do that. Get training in seminars, audios, because you're going to find a wealth of information out there on many, many, many topics. If you go to the NANC conference, you have 3,000 people all divided up into multitude of workshops on every topic you can think of. And at that conference, you're going to find an audio. You can find it somewhere. You can find a book or something. So do that. And down in our counseling center, we have people come in and watch counseling. So I have observers watching me counsel someone else. That is a really great way to learn. Because then you're watching the crying that's happening. You're watching the despair. You're hearing it for yourself. And you're hearing the anger. If you can sit and watch live, do live observation, you're going to grow too. If you have a chance to do that, it's a blessing. You can ask if you can come alongside someone else. Sometimes it's a group. So I also advise you don't be afraid to label sin as sin. And I've had ladies say, I never thought that fear was a sin. Well, yes, and this is where the gospel comes in. Aren't you glad to say that fear is a sin? Because Jesus died for our sins. It means he died for the sin of fear and lack of trust. You can put it on the cross. You don't have to carry guilt around for having fear. You can say, Lord, I'm so glad you died for that, and I'm giving it to you. But how freeing is that? Just that concept that this is sin. It's not because of how my mother acted. It's not because of how I made. It's not because, you know, anger. All these things we might justify. If you call it sin, then there's redemption. And there's freedom. So, a lot of times my counseling is evangelism. It's just talking about these are sins and Jesus has died. Do you know what Jesus has done? Jesus died for that. Do you think Jesus died for this sin? Yes. Okay, it's just basic evangelism, which is great. I mean, that's why it works. So you might have someone who came in and said, well, you know, my church teaches that I have the sin of fear, or my church teaches I have the demon. I have a demon. And it's the demon of anger. So, What do I do with that? Okay, don't be afraid to label sin as sin. Okay, but, you know, that's really sin. You see what Jesus says about that? You bring out the Bible. To get free of all these extras that are coming into your life that you can blame these other things and just say, you know what, it's just sin and we all have sin. You're identifying, hey, I have sin too. I'm like that in some ways. Okay, that's freedom. You're going to find God working. And I also advise you to be flexible. Like the one gal who said, I don't know anybody in my church who can meet with me. And when she came in on Thursday, she goes, you know what I did? I found a lady in my church and I said, some friends and I would like to come over to your house. Can we just come over to your house for coffee? And she says, yeah, we're gonna have about four of us. We're all going to go to this lady's house. It's going to be great. And she might be the one who can mentor me. Because my job is not to sit with her for hours for the next however many months. I need to pass her off to a woman in her church. So I'm asking her to identify that woman. She took it on herself to get a group and initiate a meeting with this lady. I'm like, yes, I'm so glad. Because I'm ready to graduate her when she gets a mentor. So that's where working with people in church is great, because you have more than 1 hour. You have more than once a week. And you can go to Starbucks. You can go for a walk. You can take her kids in the stroller, and you both are going to walk and talk about serious things. Take your Bible. Okay, so just remember that our goal is simply to point people to Christ. It's to demonstrate grace. It's not to think about ourselves. To remember, we're not the Savior here. God is the Savior. Jesus is our Savior. You are not the one to carry her burden, to solve her problems. She's got to work too. And there's no long-lasting solution without the Holy Spirit anyway. And there's some things that you're powerless to do. So just remember your theology. And our job, one of our jobs also is to warn, to take people who have not heard how Scripture applies to their problems and say, you know, if you're wanting to divorce your husband, do you realize what the Bible says about that? And that's your job. You're giving her warnings. You're just showing her what Scripture says, and if she ends up getting divorced, that was her decision. You were the prophet. You were the one who warned her. I mean, after all, God warned Cain, did he not? Oh, Cain, your anger's wishing to destroy you. And Cain went on and did what he wanted. God himself. God himself was the one who warned Cain. Jesus, many times, he warned the rich young man. Yeah? Go sell all you have and follow me. And he walked away. So if you think it all relies on you, it doesn't. Because even God himself, Jesus himself, gave those warnings and they were not heeded. But we're encouraged because we know the Spirit's working through us. We're using our gifts for serving. And we're to be gentle. Paul says, we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. I love that. I love that. Because as women, we know what that means. And it says, we loved you so much, so we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. That's our inspiration. That's what we are. We're called to use our freedom to serve one another in love. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Even if all the people you talk to just blow you off, he still remembers your heart was there to serve. 1 Peter 4:10-11, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So I'll just tell you that it's great to have this opportunity to be your cheerleader and say, I want you to be beneficial to your church by being willing to serve. Give of yourself, and God will bless you. So let's pray. Dear Father, I'm just so thankful that we have a group, like I said, of women here who are interested in this topic. Let us be changed by what we've heard, to know that we can be used even if we're flawed, even if we've got our own struggles, but we can still come alongside. Help us to be aware of those women who are needy in our churches, our relatives, others who need to hear the Word of God. And Lord, teach us more of your Scripture so that we know what to say. And may your Holy Spirit work through us so that the words and the Scriptures we use will be applied for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.